Perry Hot ITK for the main pod. What are we going to call this one? Shit Cold ICT.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Monday. James is looking at Twitter. It's Q&A.
I wasn't particularly looking at Twitter.
Monday Q&A.
Making sure that my tweet was pinned.
Pin it.
Bless
pin
you, Nico.
It. Pin it. So.
Come on in, do some questions.
We're going to go all the way back. Let's see. Bing, 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 bing. I'm just looking at kind of how many. It's quite a few.
For a week. You sure you ain't gone too far, mate? Look at a date on these things. I love it.
Normally, my way of knowing the cutoff is where you've put recording and shared it.
I probably put the whole podcast in there last week.
Yeah, I thought you would have.
No, didn't do that, no. Should we start this again?
I don't think you did, you know. Oh, here we go. Gundog or Tony for Keats. Right, we're going to August the 16th. Here we go. What was it called? Freak Me Baby. That was Jodeci. Did you ever figure that out?
No, it's another level.
Oh, is it another level?
Freak Me Baby. Okay. I want to lick you up and down.
Jarvo, who would you say is the best assistant manager in the league? I can't answer. I don't know who the assistant managers are.
I'm going to say Pep Linders at Liverpool.
Pep Linders?
At Liverpool.
Okay, never really heard of him or nothing. But.
Yeah, I think there's every chance it's progressing that he's going to want a number one job soon or potentially take over from Klopp in the longer term.
Okay. Great podcast. Would win. It was interesting how the teams would check. Oh, so this is like, you know, the 97 to 2000 and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It would be interesting how the teams would change if you predicted players for opposite eras formations.
Oh, so if we'd
play
have gone
a 4-3-3 for the early and a 4-4-2 for the later.
Yeah, I mean, then you could put, then I'd put Keane in, wouldn't I? And 4-3-3. And I think, yeah, the earlier team would win.
Were there any players in serious contention for both 11s of the Would Win podcast?
Yeah, Ashley Cole, definitely.
Did that get a lot of love, that podcast, did it, James?
Yeah, I think people liked it, enjoyed it. Oh, it's relaxing, it's something different, it causes debate, people can either agree, disagree. Gary Robinson's very
upset. Disagree and disagree.
Very, very upset.
Yeah, I know.
Very, 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 very upset. It was just, I think it was generally upset.
I
think
CSNC?
He was next week. I think he was
is
upset.
He come
with,
on, even. He might not. You
I
know.
Think he was upset about everything we did last Tuesday, or particularly what you did. No, it's good debate. It was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Something different.
Yeah. Maybe at some point we'll talk about Casemiro. Seems like stupid. I get it. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. And he'll do fine. But why would you buy a 30 year old and then drop 350 grand a week on salary? Short termism again.
Panic.
Desperation. Again. Therapy. Just put my wife's handbag on the scale. Fucker weighs 4 kilos and has a long handle that would create a wonderful swing if used as a weapon. How can handbags be sexist? Getting hit by that thing has to be like getting smacked by Tyson in his prime. Just saying no. Tyson's punch, Mike Tyson's punch, as opposed to Tyson Fury or any other Tyson, but both, to be fair, would be way worse than getting hit with a 4 kilo handbag swung. A 4 kilo weight, like, you know, weightlifting weights, dumbbell.
So what's the power of a Mike Tyson, prime Mike Tyson punch? What's the power of that?
Death.
What's the force?
It'd knock you out, mate. It'd knock you out.
What if Mike Tyson's swinging the handbag?
I don't think there's a single handbag that you could get hit with that would knock you
what,
out.
What if Mike kilos. Tyson was swinging the handbag? Would you rather take the punch or have the handbag with 4 kilos in it?
Handbag. Yeah? I'm not taking a Mike Tyson punch.
how much does a brick weigh? A literal brick.
I reckon about 2 to 3 kilos.
So two of them in a handbag or a Mike Tyson punch. I think I'd take the punch.
No, you wouldn't. Punch will knock you
what,
out.
What, a handbag with two bricks in from Mike Tyson slinging
yeah,
it at me?
Handbag's soft. I think you'd rather take the punch.
Yeah, but like the gloves don't have...
I think you'd rather take the punch.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I'd rather take the punch.
going to the gym tonight. I'll ask the lads, see what they say.
Yeah, ask them.
Absolutely loving 5 minutes added on. Did it come about accidentally after the whole Spurs wingback fiasco, or was it the plan to make it a regular podcast anyway? James, it's on you.
It's definitely on me. Who asked that question?
Gary. It wasn't because the wingback thing happened.
Yeah.
It was because of that. Yeah, so what you're saying is it as a result of that, and then you thought, sod it, I'll just do a 5 minutes added on?
100%. I thought it was quite a cool idea, the idea. Once I'd done it, and it obviously helped people, and for a change, you know, it was, the information was right and it was correct and stuff. And it made me think, how many times have I done podcasts and, I wish I'd said that or whatever. And you can come back and you can do it later in the day, or I can just do 5 minutes on a different little subject. And I've tried to vary what the content is of that. I try and keep it strictly to 5 minutes. It's just a little kind of bite-sized audio thing. I think the advanced tiers sound like they're enjoying it, so they're going to carry on.
Tidy. Javo, best and worst wedding you've ever been to?
The best wedding I've ever been to is my own.
Okay.
Sorry. You know why it was the best?
Don't know.
Because there weren't many fucking people there.
I know, yeah. A handful of people, job done.
We had my mum and dad there, my missus' dad and her auntie. That was it. You ain't got to worry about human beings or people. I fucking hate weddings.
Did you offend anyone by doing that?
I couldn't give a fuck. Really.
I'm not saying whether you care or not, but did you? Were there people that were like, I wish you'd have invited us or whatever?
Don't care. I just made it clear. It's a family event. Whatever.
You have more than just your mum and dad.
I just dislike weddings. Weddings, chances are, you go to a wedding and probably one of the two people getting married, you probably don't like. And you have to celebrate it. Someone dies and you celebrate someone's life.
Yeah.
I actually prefer funerals.
Huh. I went to a wedding once in Goa. One of my mates, he was from there. He lived in England, but then he was getting married. He went back to Goa. So I thought, okay, me and the boys all went. He's one of the boys. So we were all out there on a trip. So we went to Goa for a wedding. And that was amazing because obviously being on the beach and the food's killer and everything's great out there. But our mate is a little bit nervous. Not nervous, but, you know, he was worried that we were going to stitch him up and screw him up over. And so he didn't let anyone do a best man speech. Right. So we were like, come on, someone's got to do a speech. Someone's got to do a speech. He's like, no, there's no speeches at the reception. And they were like, stop being such a fucking, stop being a wanker. Yeah. That someone, one of us, like, he's your best mate. Get him to do a speech. No, there's no speeches. There's no time for speeches. Fine. All right. Night before the wedding, we got him shit-faced, which was pretty good. We drank like 3 bottles of whiskey between 6 or 7 of us, fine. And then on the day of the wedding reception in the evening, about 3 o'clock, he bowls in, right? We're all just sitting there, whatever. And he goes, you guys right to do a speech, yeah? You prick. So you're like, all right, you know what? Normally, if we'd had a week or something to plan, you have time to filter. And anything that's above the line that you think, you know, this might be too risque, you would remove. But we were like, fuck it, because we've only got 3 or 4 hours. Let's just chuck it all in there. And he screwed himself over.
Is he still married?
Yeah, he's still married.
Okay.
He's still married. Worst wedding, I'd have to think about that. There's been a few. They're fucking boring. Any Indian wedding, mate, they're too fucking long.
My cousin decided to have a wedding on the day of the 3rd and 4th place playoff between England and Belgium at the World Cup. I mean, he should have known we weren't going to make the final. 3rd, 4th playoffs, there's a chance. He might as well have had it on the day of the final, and weren't happy sitting there at the dinner table watching Belgium and England on my phone. Like.
Sam O'Sullivan, is Gabriel Jesus the first player in FPL history to have an overall EO over 100%? But I thought if you captain someone, then it's over 100% all the time. Like loads of players have been over 100%. What does he mean by overall EO?
He means the whole game. So rather than top 10K EO, you know, you see it. Mo Salah's top 10K EO, 160%. He means the whole game, including the bots, over 100% EO at the weekend. The answer to that is possibly yes.
John Jenkins, if I offered you a guaranteed 4 points, 2 to 8 from your captain every week until the end of the season, would you be happy with that return, or would you point blank refuse it?
So... I was a bit drunk on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember seeing that. I sent a tweet out, and By the way, if Mo Salah blanks...
Is that this Saturday? Was
yeah, yeah. If Mo Salah blanks tonight, expect to see the same poll get sent out because I want to see if the results are the same because I suspect they won't be. The idea that a four-point return... A four-point return is a blank is a complete and utter fucking nonsense.
It's a return?
Yeah. It might be a shit return, but it's a return. That's all it said. Is it a return or is it a blank?
So
you could say it's a shit return. That's absolutely fine. To suggest that 4-pointer is a blank is just a nonsense. I honestly, I was looking at the poll laughing. 50% think that 4 points is a blank. Fish, this is why I don't spend much time on Twitter, mate, honestly. Is it a good return? No, it's a shit return. So would you want 4 points from your captain every week and take that? No, of course you wouldn't. Was I happy getting Jesus's 4 points times two at the weekend? No, I wasn't. I'd rather had -4. Would have been much better. Sent off, missed penalty, Arsenal lost. Would have made me a lot happier than what he did get me. So, no, you would not take that. Think about it as well. So, 4 points times 2, 8, times what? 40 is what? 162, 40, 320 points or so. Mate, that's not what you want from a captain over the season. You want a shitload more than that. You want about double that. So, there's no way you'd take it.
John Jakobsen, Rangers have a youth player called Zach Lovelace. Would you rather have Lovelace or Hornkamp on the back of your shirt?
What's wrong with Lovelace?
Hornkamp.
What's wrong with Lovelace?
I'd say Hornkamp every day.
What's wrong with Lovelace?
I don't know. Ask John Jakobsen.
Nico, what's wrong with Lovelace? Does this mean something with the kids or something?
Lovelace. Lovelace. I think it's just a little bit effeminate, maybe. Never heard of that word. Okay. I'm going to go Hornkamp.
Hornkamp.
FPL Hall of Fame. This was yesterday, so yeah, it's fine. It's after the. It's in this game. FPL questions. You have to make sure you know. Time it right. Got 2 million to upgrade Nico Williams as the fifth defender. Do I double City defence with Diaz or go Perisic? My main concern is the midweek fixtures from game week 4 to World Cup. How I navigate this monstrosity. Love the work. Can I just say one thing? You know, like, there's certain things you hate, like essential and all this kind of stuff. We can't every fucking week on this pod just say who we think's going to play. Like, fucking is that all people give a shit about? Who's going to play? Like,
that's going to be part of the game over the next few weeks.
But then it gets a bit fucking boring of every week the answer's going to be the same. Who the fuck knows, right? It's repetitive. It's frustrating.
The answer to the question is the same anyway, because Ivan Perisic, over the next 3 game weeks, will be 1-18-1. And that'll outscore Ruben Diaz over the same 3 games.
Exactly that, right? I'm fine with it. So I'd take Perisic and I'd just stop worrying about it, because if you try and time it, you'll miss the hauls. So you just stomach it and go through. Like, what's he? He's now 17 points over 3. That's more than, that's nearly 6 a week. Fine. I'll take it all day long. And even then, he's probably under-delivered.
Have you seen the one where he did the lollipop and he come back inside and then he didn't shoot?
Could have shot, could have scored.
Fucking hell. He's got such a rocket on him when he shoots as well.
Just stomach it is my advice. It's what it's not. It's what I'm going to be doing. So be it. Chris Tellers, when the opportunity arises for podcasts to get sponsors, would you guys be open to accepting them? The opportunity is already there. If yes, which brands and products would you like to be sponsored for, and which ones would you definitely be opposed to? So, we've been offered many. Manscaped, but they wouldn't. I didn't tell James this, that I said I'd only.
You're going to dig me out here, aren't you?
No. I want them to model, use me as a model. Then okay. I realised that they wanted to use my balls. I said, no, thank you very much.
I thought you were going to say, I realised they wanted to use James.
It will come. We're just not in a rush. I'm sure we'll get sponsored at the time, but definitely we will restrict. I'm not going to take any old sponsor. I think it's fair to say gambling's off the table straight up.
Subject to money.
Well,
I mean, if we get offered £1 million a week, we're doing it. Sorry, guys. Crypto, we only do it for a month crypto, and that's it. We're over.
But they'll pay us in crypto. I follow Andrew Schultz. He's a comedian in America. He's pretty funny, growing pretty big. He's got a big podcast and a YouTube channel. He's taken a gambling sponsor, sports gambling sponsor, which I'm surprised he did. But, you know, people will. I would rather be sponsored by a sports-related company or someone that was doing some form of good.
Ideally, yes. At the end of the day, like as Suj said, we could have taken several offers that we've had. We're not in a rush to do so because the longer we wait, the better the value for us potentially as well and stuff. So, yeah, we could take money now, earn money now, not a problem. Gambling is the one that I wouldn't say necessarily no to booze, for example, subject to. Gambling is a complete nah. It would have to be the sort of money that would make your fucking eyes water. For me.
Yeah, and again, it would have to be, for me, it'd have to be one of the mainstream gambling companies, not a fringe one, because you don't, these guys pop up and disappear and pop up and disappear. And at least with the mainstream ones, they're regulated to a certain degree. Fantasy Billy, but Chris, if you know anyone that wants to sponsor the show that might fit in well with us, let us know. Fantasy Billy.
10 grand a month is the opening offer. Cheers.
Okay. Do you think FPL should be utilising all the price points, you know, having 0.2s, 0.3s, 0.6s at the start of the season? For example, all Fulham defenders are 4.5. Do you think pricing some at 4.3, 4.4 would make them more desirable? I think, obviously, it would be better if there were a wider range of price points, but it would be more difficult as well. I'm not sure if I'm bothered about FPO enough. Like, I get it in Sky, when you have a fixed number of transfers and you're picking 11 players. For FPL, do I want that same level of difficulty introduced into the game in my life? I probably don't. But it would make the game more difficult and then it would make it better. But I don't think I want it. I'd probably say no.
I definitely wouldn't lose sleep. I think for every case where you could say, oh yeah, put the Fulham defenders at 4.2, for example. Yep, get that. What do you do when you start looking higher, though? When you get to Saka and Kulusevski, what do you do? Take Martinelli, 6 million with the other 6 million. And Rodrigo's doing really well in that value as well at the moment. But wouldn't it just make the obvious choice even more obvious, maybe? Mm. Do you know what I mean? If Martinelli was 5.9 rather than having a debate at the start. So all them 8 millions, presumably you'd have had some at 7.8, some at 8.2. Yep. You probably would have ended up with one would have been a lot more popular than the others. So there's pros and cons to that. I would probably say yes, but yeah, like Suj, don't really care.
Jarvo says he feels like he's tried to play aggressive and be strategic in Game Week 1 and 2 and then wildcard in Game Week 3 to see me through to the unlimited period. It hasn't worked. Big name players didn't perform. Which big name players haven't performed? Your boys, Kane and Son, maybe, you might argue.
Say like Kane has. He's got 2 goals in 3 games.
Yeah, he's been right. Son hasn't. But who else big names? Salah, but he's only played 2 games.
It depends what Jarvo's wildcard. If Jarvo's gone double City, Reece James, Heung-min Son, he's gone all these at the weekend, they're all blank. That's probably why he feels that way. But a little bit like what I said on the main pod earlier, like if you have wildcarded now, Exactly what Jarvo said. It's going to last you to unlimited. So you made choices with, presumably, certain choices were choices for, in your opinion, the whole lot.
Worst start to the season ever. He's at 6 million. What fundamental principles of playing FPL will help me go back to basics and play more sensibly? I feel this approach may help me save my season. I think the irony is it's going to be make it more boring, but it will help. Like, it's possible, like you and I have proven, to field 10 or 11 players from the top 4 or 5 teams. That's it, right? They're consistent for a reason. Other than Trent and Alisson, all of them have returned so far, and Trent and Alisson are going to play tonight, and they could rectify that. It means every single one of my 11 outfield players at some point has given me a return. That is consistency, and that comes from the big teams. I think I would just default to that, Jarvo. So,
not in a bad.
Real Debarco FC, how big is Kante at Chelsea? He's tiny, mate.
About
he's like 5'4", isn't he?
No, he's about 5'8", isn't he, I think.
Okay, I thought he's shorter than me. Oh, well, he is shorter than me. I'm 5'9".
He's taller than me. Everyone's taller than me.
N'Golo Kante.
He's obviously big, but I think Kovacic as well, it's worth saying, is a miss. So they've obviously got a problem in that area at the moment with both of them missing.
This is a good question from Ryan Quinn. I've got a new policy this season. I think I need to think about it. Take a 16-point hit to make 6 transfers every 5 to 6 game weeks or so to cover the fixture swings. If I'm right, it'll pay back in spades. Is this madness or opportunism? But then you're wasting, surely you're wasting transfers in between.
Yeah.
But are you using your transfers in between as well? Because then you're making 11 transfers every 5 weeks. That's changing your entire team.
So
there's consistent players that you just want to ride out as set and forget, like your De Bruyne.
What are you going to do when you get the fixture swing? Say City-Tottenham play each other game week 7. What are you going to do? Suddenly go, oh, yeah, I'm going to take minus 16. I'm going to get rid of De Bruyne, Haaland, Cancelo, and I'm going to get in Bowen, Madison, and Kieran Trippier, and the because they got better fixtures, they're going to return. Just think about what you're doing here.
Do it though, Ryan, because I think I like. Oh yeah, Maverick.
Yeah,
go
no,
for it.
Ryan.
Like keep
fuck
letting
it.
Us know what's going on.
Yeah,
because I'm interested.
Do it. Tell us. I want to hear the sub story.
It's not going to be a sub story. You're going to crush it. But just do it because I think people that play differently give me joy a little bit.
I think minus 16 is a step too far. Once you start looking at minus 12s. You're thinking about wild cards, aren't you? If you've already used a wild card, okay, a bit different if you've got several problems, but minus 16 is too much, let's be honest.
Matt Lowe, we saw Klopp call out Agbonlahor last week. Let's face it, he shouldn't be a pundit anyway, but do you think punditry in general is losing its credibility because they're so extremist in their views in order to get clicks? Last week, Chelsea were robbed, but this week, they're finished because of one bad performance. I mean, depends what platform you go to, because obviously Talkshite is designed to be that. I think Agbonlahor, I think Klopp was fine to call him out and say, look, if you're cussing out Man United, come on, man. They've had a couple of bad results.
I think from, like, it was a bit bizarre, though, from Klopp. So Klopp was critical of Agbonlahor calling out United, and I presumably he was probably asked in his press conference because they're playing each other. But then he started.
It came a bit.
But then he brought up about the fact that Agbonlahor was in the team when Villa lost 6-0 to Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean Agbonlahor said Man United are weak mentally, and Klopp said I couldn't remember him being a mentality monster. He was here when we battered them 6-0. So he's just saying he's not exactly renowned as a mentality monster
but then
to call people
straight
out.
Away, people were going, well, yeah, Klopp was part of the Liverpool team that lost 7-2 to Villa. So
yeah,
it was just opening up a bit of worms. Jurgen Klopp doesn't need to get involved with the fucking dross and shit that's being spoken about on TalkSport.
People are willing to give it,
Came out and he said he nearly phoned in. That says to me, you've got a serious issue. Because anybody who's thinking of phoning into that program,
yeah,
I don't understand.
I remember
you actually
Frank
get
Lampard
that irate with that show that you want to call in. Yeah, dumb thing to do.
No, but he called in when he was a player when they were cussing him out for getting divorced at the time. I don't know if you'll remember. He was getting divorced and then they were on the show. They were just, he's left his wife and kids and he's left them in the lurch. And he was like, hang on a second. You don't know anything about my personal life.
That's personal. That's a bit different.
Yeah. And he was like, you don't know what's going on. Like for you to then stand there and I've abandoned my wife and I've left her with my kid and all this is nonsense. But don't like get your facts straight. I think if you don't call them out, they're going to carry on being like that. So
we weren't even talking about Klopp's team. We're talking about Man United. What are you getting so angry for?
Because I think it's symptomatic of everything.
Listen, Liverpool, Manchester United particularly, if they're having a bad spell, everyone's coming shooting for them. Sorry, you're huge clubs. That's the way it is.
Shifo, I'm going to ask the question, but I'm not going to answer the question. Can I assume Perisic starts against Forest, then rested against West Ham, and then plays City? You can assume whatever you like.
Yeah.
You can assume whatever you like, but
Shifo, I don't pick the fucking team, bruv.
He came on as a sub last week and got 4 points for me, which was all right. It's better than 2 points and no clean sheet. So I'll take Perisic's 20 minutes every other week because one in two of those, he'll still return for me.
I've been very clear on the advice today. Like, wait till Friday. Please wait till Friday. Then on the differential show on Friday, we can have a bit of a better educated guess, assumptions, and we cannot assume anything.
Who do you believe, says Dan, to be the best current Premier League player who is a terrible FPL choice? I mean, barring injury, you could argue Kante in that case.
Rodri.
He's a beast.
Any of them mids,
an assist, right?
Yeah, but Rodri's 6 million.
Oh, is he that much?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he should be 5. If he was 5, I think he'd be an all right pick.
Yeah, no, you can't be having that. 5 million, yeah, reasonable. 6 million, you can't be having that.
Declan Rice, shit FPL pick. But you'd have him in the team all day long.
If he'd have scored the penalty at Forest, it's not a bad pick.
He didn't.
I'd go Rodri.
Yeah, because of the price. Rice is 5 million. It's kind of, I thought he might be five. Five, I think he is.
How are you picking Rodri over Martinelli or Rodrigo at the moment? Come on.
Daniel's second question. Who is the best backup or second keeper in Premier League history?
Ooh. I'm going to say this might be a bit cheeky. Petr Cech's in my head. I'm thinking about that whole year he sat behind Courtois. I mean, as a number two, the fuck does it get much better than that? He arguably had at that point the two best goalkeepers in the league, arguably. So, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I guess it's more of a permanent question as a permanent number two. Trying to think. It definitely isn't a fucking Tottenham goalkeeper. I know that. Kind of permanent number two. It probably is someone at like a Chelsea or a Man City or something. Nah, I'm going Petr Cech, bollocks.
Okay. We have a last question from Dan. FPL question.
Last question already?
No, last question from him. He's got three questions. There's not that many more, to be honest with you.
That's all right.
That's fine. Mason Mount, one more week because of his fixture or let him go? Leicester. But then they got Southampton. This is the one that keeps dragging on.
Yeah, I'd keep.
Colin G, in the future, could you see any changes in the league requirements for transparency with injuries for consistency across managers? Not sure your familiarity with US sports, but the NFL, as an example, has injury reports that rate an injured player's likelihood of playing and whether they've trained in past teams have been penalised for not being truthful to gain an advantage. I think the other thing is, right, people put bets on games, like it's gambling and stuff, and if you knew a player wasn't going to play, was going to play, I think it's really harsh on people that are putting money down when they don't have information. I can see it coming.
Yeah, it can. The only thing with that is what happens when, example, you've got manager does press conference on a Thursday and his team's not playing till Monday. Now, that's quite rare, but it can happen. You've got how many training sessions? 7, 8 training sessions potentially in between?
Yeah, but that's fine. It can happen. It's fine. But as long as they're truthful about
it. But then you could say, oh, well, he got injured in... You could just do that anyway. Oh, sorry, he got injured in training.
Yeah.
So, really, unfortunately, no. Not unless you had something that was in place where... I think what you'd have to have in that case to get to the truthful point is the football club would have to commit to... using social media to say player X got injured in training after manager Y's press conference. He's now doubtful for the weekend or whatever. You'd have to come out and legitimately say it. It's the only way it could work.
The Kauto boy says, should he trade up from Ward and or Everson? He's got the double up. He's got $500,000 and one free transfer, or should he just suck it up until the wild card? You can get to Sanchez and you can get to Raya. And I think, yeah, just do it.
How long are we sucking it out for? When's the wild card?
It's also a good question.
Assume
it's undecided. If you've got another fires to put out, just get it done.
I'm liable to say suck it up, actually.
Now they're going to be shit, mate.
I'm not ruling out going to it, actually. Not yet. I certainly wouldn't do it before the transfer window closed. But they do have a good kind of run from sort of game week 7 onwards where I think, I could maybe chance it over that period, you know. So I think at the moment, I'd suck it up.
Greg Simpson, you might be able to answer this. You might not, James. I've just been on the FPL website to check the answer to this question so that when you answer it, I can tell you you're right or wrong.
Oh, tricky.
Which defender do you think is currently top of the ICT index on the FPL website?
Ivan Perisic.
Incorrect.
I'm going to say Saliba.
Incorrect.
It's going to be someone stupid, like Daniel Amati or something.
I'm going to narrow it down to a choice of 10 defenders for you. Actually, even less, because some of our players are the same. One of us has him in their team.
Reece James.
Incorrect.
Cancelo.
Incorrect.
Nico Williams.
Correct.
Okay, great. Brilliant.
I don't know. You either read into that that Nico Williams carries a lot of ICT or the ICT index is irrelevant.
So basically, we had Perry Hot ITK for the main pod. What are we going to call this one? Shit Cold ICT.
Adam,
Nico, we're calling this one Shit Cold ICT.
James, you're the memory guy. Has the Liverpool defence started slowly the last couple of seasons now? It feels like a lesson learned is to buy Trent after a few game weeks. He's only played two games, still wanting to go to level them up with everybody else's appearances so far.
No, I'm trying to think Liverpool's results started last season. First home game to beat Burnley 2-0. Trent assisted in that. Who did they play first day of the season? I can't fucking remember. Norwich away, won 3-0. So two clean sheets in the first two last year. It's how it stays with you in your mind. And invariably, you pick out the negatives.
Harry G comes back to the Leicester keepers double up. Would you do a minus four to fix it and get a 4.5 in?
Say that again.
Leicester double up. Take a minus four to get a 4.5 in?
No. I wouldn't take a hit for a goalkeeper. Get random. They could lose 5-0 at the weekend. He might save a penalty and get you 8-9 points. I wouldn't bother.
Gary Mantle, what's the worst day you've ever had at work?
I had this on the stream recently. I spoke about the time when I was at the bookies and the London riots. That was horrendous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You had to shut up shop and...
I was looking...
Did you have like shutters?
I was temporarily looking after the area, so I was kind of responsible for 80 people and they wouldn't let me shut the shops.
Why?
So, because it begins with C and ends in S. I was begging for the safety of people. And of course, you're the leader that people are looking at and you having to tell them, no, stay open.
That's a madness.
It's fucking horrendous. So I would say that.
I mean, letting people go is a bad day at work, but I don't think that's the answer Gary's looking for. But I've had a few days where I've come in, not recently, we're talking now like 7-8 years ago at least, steaming from the night before. But... at the old place, the old office before we moved here, where I had my old office, that was right. I could lock the door and just go
just
sleep.
Hide.
Yeah. When you can just like go in your own room.
Yeah, but
and
you
go
can
sleep.
Fuck off 200 yards around the road and go
this
home,
is
in
even
fairness.
Better now, Mike. But I'm not here there. Whereas there, I was still in my room. I could have been working for anyone else. But those are the worst, where you're just like, I just need to sleep.
Oh,
and I'm crap with hangovers.
Like, we've all been there. The worst ones is when you do it and you know you're not even hungover. The hangover is not going to kick in to about another 2-3 hours yet. You're just still fucking drunk.
Bundesliga tax, is it real? Ollie Burke is scoring goals, sir. On a semi-serious note, I think that nowadays, the order nowadays is EPL, La Liga, and then a pretty big drop-off to the next leagues. That's from David Beaton. Who's Ollie Burke?
Oh, you're joking.
I don't know Ollie Burke.
Shout out to Heidi, one of our patrons, who's a Werder Bremen fan. Okay. So they won 3-2 at Borussia Dortmund at the weekend. They were 2-0 down.
Oh, that was the game where they did a Spurs.
They were 2-0 down
I
going into the 89th minute.
Was more impressive than Bergwinch.
No, fuck that shit.
They scored three goals.
I don't care. We were 2-1 down with 12 seconds to go.
They were 2-0 down.
12 seconds.
They were 2-0 down.
12 seconds of added time to go, we were losing.
They were, so you scored two goals in added time. They were 2-0 down with 1 minute to go, right, of the match?
Yeah, plus added time.
What's the added time?
I don't know, but they had it.
Anyway,
I think Burke scored in 95, 96. And it's an incredible achievement. Oliver Burke was at Sheffield United, wasn't he?
Oh, that Ollie Burke.
Yeah, brief OOP, 4.5 midfielder. Yeah, great goal as well. I see Bayern won 7-0 in Bochum. I think they scored 5, 6, 7 or something in their first three. PSG won 7-1 away to Lille. And Mbappe scored after 8 seconds. Anyway, German Bundesliga tax. Is it real? It might be. If you've seen Timo Werner's first goal back at Leipzig, that'd make you think so, yeah. I literally read, oh, Werner scored for Leipzig, brilliant goal. And you see it, he's taking a shot from 25 yards, which he probably wouldn't have taken playing for Chelsea. And the goalkeeper's just like dived through it. I don't know. Not everybody comes from the Bundesliga as a failure, right? Look at Berbatov, for example. I know it's a while ago, but he came over and he was so much better than what anyone was expecting. So it can
work both ways.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
John says, is St James's Park now the third hardest place to go after the Etihad and Anfield?
No.
I mean, Chelsea's still difficult.
No, I disagree.
Your
with
place
that.
Is still difficult.
And Arsenal, in fairness.
Yeah. I'm not buying it, but they're making it their own.
I think you
St James's Park is becoming rocking at the moment.
You could certainly make the case that, yeah, you probably will see a little bit of disparity between their home and away results. Because absolutely, yes, it's becoming a very difficult place to go and win football matches. Let's judge it with what we see this season in terms of what the rest of the big five do there. The reality is, yes, they got themselves in a brilliant position yesterday, but I promise you, with 25 minutes to go, they'd gone from thinking they'd won to completely shitting themselves. And Eddie Howe fixed something on field tactically, which saved the game, which he deserves huge credit for. Yeah, of course, like atmosphere-wise... From an atmosphere perspective, you'd probably put them top at the moment, I'd say, in comparison to certainly those pushing for the Champions League spots and stuff. It'll probably be the toughest atmosphere, but that probably won't last for forever.
FPL Roberto, I like this. This is a random question. I prefer the random ones. The start of the question may seem a little weird, but go with it, James.
Okay.
When showering... Which way do you face? Do you face towards the shower head so the water hits your front, or away from the shower head so the water hits your back? This came up with the family recently, and people had difficulty believing not everyone faces the same way as they do. I face away from the shower head so it hits my back.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'll be the other way, mate.
You face the shower so it hits your front.
Yeah.
And then it goes in your face and your eyes and everything.
I think, to be honest, no. No. Why is it going to hit my eyes? It's coming from above me. See, this is the thing. It would depend on your shower, bottom line, right?
Okay.
Do you not think? A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, why would it depend on the shower? If it's directly above you, it would hit straight down, but...
But then I would... I've got a bit of a double chin going on, right? If I want to wash the top of my head and my forehead, I've got to do some real arching back of my neck.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, I turn around in the shower as well. I face it. And face away.
Well, turning round's okay, yeah.
But I normally face away from it.
I would say facing forwards.
So there we go. We're different. Who knew? Tim.
Shit cold ICT. Tim,
says the atmosphere at both St James Park and Ellen Road looked top notch yesterday.
Yeah, it looked great at Leeds as well.
Which away game have you been to? Did they throw all shit around the edge of the pitch like they came last season?
No, you could tell. Well, like when they scored and stuff, it was absolutely bouncing at Leeds.
Which away game have you been to where the home fans, not your own team's fans, have created the best atmosphere?
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid,
by absolute miles. I've told this story before, and I think that's an important one because you just can't imagine that. Went to Real Madrid and he had to give up singing in Champions League quarter because it was so loud. It was so loud, drowning us out.
90 minutes.
I wouldn't say the whole 90 minutes, but you just wouldn't expect. Bearing in mind this was back in 2011, Champions League quarter final home to Tottenham is not a big game for Real Madrid. It's Champions League quarter final. But there's expectation there. How fucking loud they were. I've never been anywhere like that noise. Absolutely incredible. In England, I've got to be honest, and it's not to slag anyone off, but we've had this conversation a few times. I think since we've come back from COVID, some of the atmospheres have been pretty pony. Most of them. Most of them have been pretty pony. You can go certain places sometimes where it definitely feels like intimidating. You can feel, I'm feeling like Goodison. I remember going to Goodison a weeknight that might have even been that same year as Real Madrid or the year after, and they were loud, really loud. But when I went there last year, it was tame. Admittedly, Benitez was in charge. He's probably tame there at the moment as well. I'll say Everton. Fuck it.
Okay. Fair play. And that's that. That's all the questions we've had in this week. So thank you, patrons, for that. Tomorrow, we are looking at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
If one of us doesn't get signed by them in between now and then.
I'm looking forward to that atmosphere on Sunday because that should be a good atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty bouncing against us, it looked like, on TV. So,
we'll see.
Yeah, should be. Patrons, thanks again for all of your support. We hope to keep you next month as well. And enjoy yourselves. Get involved in the conversation
month after.
On Slack as well. and, of course, sponsor the show. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Sponsor the show. Thanks, patrons. Have a good week. Cue music, please, man child.